Did you notice we started off with two songs from Advent this morning, or this evening? Did you notice that? Two songs from Advent. They're two of my favorites. Lo, he comes with clouds descending, which is very often the first Sunday of Advent. And then the other one is one of my favorites also, Hark, Thrilling Voices Sounding. And so we started off with Advent carols here the Sunday before the Christ the King Sunday. Now, the grumpy old theologue in me says, no, that's not right. We're not in Advent yet. We can't sing Advent songs until it's time. At the same time, the giddy 8-year-old in me loves the idea and is chomping at the bit for any bit of Advent and Christmas and Epiphany and children and camels and donkeys, like all the things that come with that whole set of seasons. And so lucky for me, and probably lucky for all of you, today I think the 8-year-old's gonna win. I'm so thankful for these carols and what they mean to us and what they speak to us. And after all, they're not really that far out of place during this season where we come up before Christ the King Sunday. For Advent begins with the return of Christ. So I have thought about Christ the King Sunday this few weeks that lead up to Christ the King Sunday is talking about end times things. But as I was looking through the lectionary, the different readings for the different years, I'm not so sure that that's completely the case. But rather, it talks about the lead up to the proclamation that Jesus is the King. And then the first Sunday of Advent, we proclaim that he's coming, that the King is coming. So perhaps these songs are not so out of place after all today. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's passage, Jesus speaks of the fall and the destruction of the temple. And it is not, as I said before, it is not a very Christmassy passage. It's not a very bright and cheerful passage. It talks about judgment. And so here we come to this passage, and preparing our minds for the coming of the King, and for the beginning of Advent and all the things that we're looking up forward to, including for us in our context, looking forward to leaving this place, which has been a tent for us, and moving to, starting 2 weeks from now, a building that will be for us. And so it really is kind of a transitional moment. And so when Jesus is talking, he tells us, or he tells the people, of the destruction of the temple. Now, I thought about, should I say something about, well, I guess, and here I am saying it. Should I say something about the fact that we're about to move into a building and Jesus is telling them about the destruction of theirs? Maybe that calls us to hold on with loose hands the gifts that God has given, because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But right now, the Lord is giving, and we're thankful for that. So the Gospel of Luke, as I was reading through this passage, I just kept pulling, I've preached 3 months in a row now, one time, 3 months in a row, on the Gospel of Luke. And each time I look at it, I can't find the meaning just right in that passage. I have to pull back and pull back and pull back. And so this week, as I was reading this passage, I ended up pulling back 3 chapters. And I think they do all go together, because they form this great big set of reoccurring parentheses. And every time you get closer to the middle, you get closer to the heart. And this is what I mean. It goes from chapter 19 to chapter 21. And the first set of parentheses talk about Jesus coming. So at the very beginning, we have Jesus and the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. And then at the very end, we have the other parenthesis. And that one says, Jesus is coming as on the clouds and in judgment. Beginning and end, Jesus is coming. And then right after that first story, you have the second one. Jesus, in his triumphal entry, stops and he weeps over unrepentant Israel or unrepentant Jerusalem. And he's like, why, oh why, Jerusalem, won't you please repent? Then you go to the end, and once again, we hear about the fall of unrepentant Jerusalem that is coming. The ancient church fathers thought that took place in 70 AD when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. And then after talking about Jerusalem and asking why they would not repent, then we hear Jesus talking about or going in and he cleanses the temple. And then you go to the back end and Jesus gives us today's passage where he talks about the destruction of the temple. And then you have the gem, the heart of this passage, right in the middle. It's a whole chapter, and it ends, the climax of it is just before we start reading today. The whole chapter is about the conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, and it goes out and it spells them all out. It's not just the Pharisees. Oftentimes, it's just the Pharisees. Here, it's the chief priest and his priests with him. Here it's the Sadducees and the scribes with them. So you have this whole array of the religious leaders and the community and the elders. It's the community leaders of Jerusalem. And they're confronting Jesus and challenging him on his authority time after time after time after time. And Jesus silences them. And here's the gem. Are you ready? Here it is. It starts in chapter 20, verse 45. And this is what it says. And in the hearing of the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." Right there in the middle, they devour the widow's homes. And then there's this beautiful passage that I love. Jesus looked up and he saw the rich putting the gifts into the offering box. And he saw the poor widow who put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, the poor widow is put in more than all of them, for they contribute out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." They oppose him, and they devour the homes of the widows, the vulnerable, the powerless. And then they confront him, and they deny his power and his authority as the Son of God and as the King of the universe and the rightful King of Jerusalem, the rightful King of Israel, all the while devouring the widow's homes. And he looks at the widow and says, "No, her tiny two coins is the most precious of all, and this is the feather that breaks the camel's back." And Jesus says, and now it's happening. Now the temple will be destroyed because that's where these people are roosted. In the temple, it's where the high priest does his thing. It's where the Sadducees run around and do their preaching. It's where the scribes and do their thinking and their writing and the teachers of the law. This is their place. And right now, Jesus has said, the line has just been crossed. And it is coming down. Not one stone upon another. It's not a very Christmassy passage, is it? It's not. Not one stone upon another. Do you know, the heart of that passage, I think, that passage where Jesus defends the widows and he calls them to task on what they have been doing behind all their religious false fronts. And I have to say, as a person standing before you wearing a long robe, it makes me stop and think, I need to search my heart every day. I need to search my heart. It's easy to fall into those things, for me and for you. We search our hearts because this is not the path we want. And so what this tells us is that sin grinds the vulnerable, I think. Sin grinds the vulnerable and the innocent. And it's not just in this big public setting. Think about our lives. Husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, when you are wrong to each other, your children suffer, right? You know it, they do. As a hospice chaplain, on occasion, I see families where grown adult children cannot put their differences behind them and be there to love their loved one who's passing. And so someone goes to their last moment surrounded by family conflict. When we have sin between us, it grinds those in the middle. It grinds them to powder. And Jesus said that they are grinding the widows to powder, and she is precious to him. She is precious to him. One of the great axioms of the early church, and it is spoken, you can find it in the church fathers' writings very early, and it spreads, it's everywhere. And the phrase is this, is trying to understand, why did God become a human being? And those of you who have been with me or known me long will know that you'll know this, because I always say it. God became one with humanity, that humanity might become one with God. That's why God became a person. That's why Christmas happened. He's becoming one with us, that we might be lifted up into the very presence of God in the body of Christ. God became one with humanity, that humanity might become one with God. Okay. So that brings me to Christ the King Sunday, which I've always thought, until this week, I've always thought about being about the second coming of Christ. I looked at all the readings. Do you know what they are? Jesus on the cross. Next Sunday, we're going to hear Jesus on the cross next to criminals and saying to one of them, I'll be with you in paradise today. And we see Jesus becoming one with the widow who's being devoured and the criminals being devoured. I don't know if it was right or not, whether the punishment for the thief on the cross is just. I don't know. But Jesus joined him there anyway. That when we start with Advent and Christmas and we go all the way through Lent and Easter, the cross and the resurrection, and is Jesus in his entire life taking on what is ours because he is one of us, to save us and raise us up that we might become one with God in him. And so in today's reading, I finally get around to today's reading. In today's reading, you see that second part. Jesus calls us to come and be one with me. If you look at your bulletin, in the Gospel of Luke, he says to them, verse 10, he says to them, nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. And then, now listen, this is everything that's about to happen to the apostles. And I want you to take note of something. Everything that's going to happen to them is exactly what is about to happen with Jesus. He's about to take everything that he is going to do, and he's going to tell them, it's coming to you too. I became one of you, and now it's time for you to pick up your cross and come and be one with me. So listen to these things. Verse 12. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors. Read, Jesus is going to stand in judgment under Pilate and Herod. You will be brought before kings and governors. And then down in verse 16, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers. Your loved ones will deliver you up. And sisters and brothers and relatives and friends, says the Jesus, who is about to be betrayed by one of his disciples. And some of you they will put to death, says Jesus, who is going to the cross. God became one with humanity, all the way down to the suffering, crushed and ground widows who have lost their homes to the greedy, to the prisoners who are dying on their own cross, justified or not. To you and me, wherever our darkest moments are, Jesus came to become one with us, and he knows. And that is good news. And now, Church of the Redeemer, he calls us with the disciples to be one with him, to come and love those widows and the poor, to come and love the people who are struggling to make ends meet. The last 3 months, I feel like I've been preaching the same sermon every time. But it is what has come out of the Gospel of Luke to me. We are moving from the suburbs to the city. We are moving from beautiful Roseville to Frogtown. And those are the people that God has called us to reach. So let us follow the example of Christ. As Christ became one with humanity, that humanity might become one with God, let us become one with Frogtown. What does it mean to embrace them? Really, let us become one with that community. Let us love them as Christ loved the sinner on the cross. Let us go and join them in their hardships and sufferings. And then let us call them, come and be part of us. And we will love you and bring you to a Savior who loves you as well. Christ became one with us that we might become one with him. Let us become one with our new neighborhood, that our new neighborhood might become one with us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.